In fact, by age 70, you would only have 1.6 million. In other words, for 65-year-old you, who wants to retire and live off your TSP and live using the 4% rule so you can safely withdraw 4% or $100,000 per year forever, instead of having 2.5 million, using the life cycle strategy, you're going to have less than 1.5 million. You have about 1.4 million. In other words, it's a $1.1 million mistake to invest in the life cycle funds. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing. And most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Wow, it is November. It's the first weekend in November. Halloween is come and gone. And we are back with another episode of the Service and Wealth Podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining us and also thank everybody who's been listening through September and October. We really have done some deep dives trying to, one, teach ourselves a little bit more about the blended retirement system, the value of it, the way to take advantage of it, and how to plan and make sure you don't get, you know, kind of nipped on the backside of some of the really financially empowering benefits that come with the BRS, but that can also be problematic from a tax standpoint. And then, you know, we also spent a lot of time talking about just sort of like the psychology of money and our money mindsets. And you know, we specifically in October, we're just trying to say like, in some cases, it's just not worth fighting. You know, we were talking about girl math, which, you know, men and women use girl math. I really like to use girl math. I have to actively suppress that when I want to get like new gear and gadgets and just be like, I'm going to take a 24-hour cooling off. You know, it's like, it's weird, right? Like you're literally just talking about ordering something on Amazon and you have to like impose on yourself the same federal, you know, rules on like buying guns, you know, like a cooling off, like background check, like, do I really need this? You know, and it's for like a new pair of shoes. But the, you know, that what we kind of uncovered there too is that a lot of our beliefs about money are, you know, beliefs are based on emotions. They're based on other people's experiences, other people's opinions. Like that's just an opinion, man, right? It's got nothing to do with our own goals or beliefs or values. And a lot of times it's not even grounded in reality. And so I was walking back from having dropped my daughter off from school and was kind of talking about this with one of my friends here, another dad, who has a daughter, my daughter's age. They're like best friends. They play. And fortunately, like her dad and I get along really well. And he was asking what I was doing. I was telling him as I was talking, this is a consistent problem I have, is that I'm talking and having a conversation, but what I'm at the same time doing is I'm having another conversation with myself, and you know, there's got to be some sort of weird like wires that are not connected in my brain that I can do that. But you know, I'm talking to him about the day and the things that I've been doing on the podcast, and at the same time I started writing the script or the outline. I don't actually write, you know, I'm like, I'm not Jay-Z, but I'm like Jay-Z in that this is all freestyled. I don't have a big view app that's feeding me a script. I don't use AI to generate my topics and my scripts. I wait until I've got something I want to talk about, and then I kind of meditate on it for maybe sometimes like only 5 or 10 minutes, sometimes for like a few hours. And then I make a mental map, you know, and follow it. And that's what I was kind of doing. And what I realized is that just like we were talking about last month with these money scripts and how we fall into these patterns and make these decisions of our savings plans and our investments and what we think about money and what we think we should do with our money based on things that were like subconsciously imprinted us on us when we were young, when we were 6 or 7 years old and all the way up until we're, you know, maybe 15 or 16. Like, there's a lot of things we do that have just been imprinted on us as adults too. And we do it, but we don't really know why. And, you know, other than the reason of like, you know, I just think back to being, you know, I wasn't even messing with the TSP when I was a second lieutenant, first lieutenant, or most of the time I was a captain. You know, I was within a couple of years, you know, I was almost, I think like, I don't think I was selected for major by the time I started saving for retirement in the TSP, right? But it was late. It was a late start. And when I got started, I started listening to what other people in the unit were saying, you know, like the majors and the lieutenant colonels, a couple of the captains, a bunch of the master sergeants who, you know, you got to watch out. Like E8s are super sharp, super clever, super strategic, right? Like, they didn't get there for no reason at all. And, you know, when I was talking to all these people, I'm like, I'm listening to these officers and they're telling all these young officers and even their young enlisted guys when they're doing kneecap to kneecap discussions or they're doing annual training resets and talking about personal finance or like, you know, other training requirements. And they're feeding them all this stuff that it's like just recycled and in general, like hot garbage, in my opinion. Today, I'm gonna hopefully convince you that that opinion is based on fact and not just like an opinion, man. And then you sit down, you listen to the E8s, and like the E8s are like, for whatever reason, everywhere I've been in the Marine Corps and with a lot of the Navy and the Air Force E8s I've worked with, I've never really worked with a lot of Army E8s, but a lot of Air Force E8s, like they know stuff. Like, they are not following the herd. They have like taken the time to figure it out for themselves and they're telling a different story and they're doing different things. And once we finally sat down and you know, got into the Military Wealth Coach creation, which started, you know, it started with a 3-day grind session in which I outlined and then dictated an entire book. It was the first book. I didn't let it go to publishing because it wasn't that great, but I spent 3 days outlining and then dictating like, you know, 10, 11, 12 hours a day, just smashed out, I don't know how many tens of thousands of words it was. But it's, even though it never like made it as a real book, like chunks of it have made it into the blog and made it into the service and wealth book. Other chunks have like got moved over and they're part of the Ultimate Military Retirement Plan, which is, we're still editing it, you know, editing takes time. But it was at that moment sitting down that I like really tore into some of these things and figured out for myself what sort of the reality was. And if you haven't figured it out at this point, because either you haven't heard me say it before, or you haven't read the Service and Wealth book, like today is about the life cycle funds that TSP offers. And I got to tell you, like, I think we're going to title today's episode Knives Out, because it's like one of my life's missions to take down the life cycle funds. Like, if I had any power to do it, I would like just walk through the front door at Thrift Savings Plan. I'd be like, okay, you see these funds? Let's see, we got from L income all the way up to L2070. That's 11 funds. I was like, you see all these? Quit robbing our service members and our veterans of their retirement and their financial freedom in the future and close all these funds. Just cut them, right? And, you know, they exist for a reason, but it's not for your best interest. Like, that I can tell you with 100% certainty, it is not in your best interest. As a matter of fact, the only reason why they really do exist is to make TSP money, right, on commissions and fees. And so today, this is my podcast dedicated to the hopeful death of the TSP lifecycle funds. So what are they? All right. So before we begin, I have to give the standard disclaimer, which is that the content in this show is educational in nature. It's meant to improve your financial IQ and help you navigate all of the what were once, you know, kind of mountains and turn them into molehills in terms of financial plans and decisions and strategies. But as always, all investment carries risk. Do your own research, make your own decisions, and then most importantly, as in all things in life, is be accountable. And if you make a decision, own the consequences. Celebrate your victories, learn from your mistakes, and then move on. You know, wherever you're getting this show, you know, our website is militarywealthcoach.com, and you can go there. You can find links to all of our socials where you can follow us. You can also sign up for a free consultation with me, the Military Wealth Coach, and it's a chance for you to tell me what's going on with your finances, where you are now, where you want to get to, and what questions you have about the path to take you there. And I'll give you like a noble appraisal of where you are, if it's going to succeed or not. And I'll also tell you if I think I can help you. And maybe we'll form a relationship there and work ahead and do more than just one call. But at the very least, you know, I'm offering anyone and everyone in uniform or veteran that chance for a free call, which is like just everyone in uniform, active duty. That's a million people. So as much as I want to spread the word, like maybe not to everybody, I don't know. At least I'm going to have to actually build a company and hire some people if that was the case. But, you know, also one thing I also really want to ask is if you're listening or if you're reading the blogs or if you read the book, like, and you have comments, you have feedback, like, hit me up. DM me, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, X, or you can just email me at coach. The address is coach@military-wealth.com. Even if you just want to send me some suggestions for topics that you'd like to hear more about. And I got to tell you, if I don't know the answer in the classical, you know, military cliche, I don't know, but I will find out, sir or ma'am. It's kind of like a, you know, like a hunting dog. You give me a topic and I will chase it all the way to the end and get the answers. So anyway, with that said, let's get back onto the topic here and make sure that we've got a good sight alignment on the life cycle funds. Okay. So first of all, we should say, like, what are they? All right. And what you have over at the Thrift Savings Plan is you have five individual funds. You have the G fund, which is government securities, so like treasuries and bonds. You have the F fund, which is a fixed income fund. So now it has some government bonds as well as corporate bonds, right? And so it's important to realize, like, if you want to invest in, say, a company like GE or even like NVIDIA, like they are not only selling stock. They also sell bonds. And the reason why they do that is you can raise a lot of cash from stock and it can really inflate your value. Bonds, you can also set fixed amount of money that you raise, and then you know exactly how much you have to pay back, right? Because they're basically coupons that you pay back on the bonds. So there are different ways for companies to be financed. So you can own parts of these big famous companies like Tesla in the F fund because it's investing in corporate bonds, municipal bonds, things like that. Then we have three stock funds. We have the C fund, which matches the S&P 500. So that's the 500 biggest companies in the U.S. stock market. You have the S fund, which invests in small cap. Small caps are like companies that are worth, what's the traditional definition Small caps are from $250 million to $2 billion in terms of the company value. So, like, we know that, Meta and Alphabet and Apple are worth like $1 trillion. Well, if you're only worth $1 billion, so you're 1,000 times smaller than Apple, then that would make you a small cap. Excuse me. And then you have the I Fund, and the I Fund is international stocks. Okay. And so that is everything. Now, they don't invest in China, okay, because of our foreign policy. So it's basically the all countries world index. So Europe, most of Asia, Japan, Australia, stuff like that. South America, some African companies, but nothing in China or Hong Kong. So you don't get total actual index fund exposure. Now, as a quick aside, that's why, you know, we tell anybody who listens, and we put it in our books, like, don't invest in the iFund in the TSP because of the U.S. foreign policy and prohibitions on investing in countries that we aren't really friendly with. You lose out on those gains. And so the iFund underperforms international equities that anybody else can buy. So if you really want to, you know, you've been reading up all sorts of stuff and blogs, and you're like, I need to diversify. I don't just want to have U.S. stocks. I want to have international stocks. Don't do that in your TSP. If you want it in a retirement account, go out and or open up an individual retirement account, an IRA with, you know, E-Trade or Vanguard or something like that, or just open a brokerage account with one of those firms, and then buy an international fund there, and then you can get exposure to China, Hong Kong, and other countries and companies there that are making lots of money and generate good returns, right? And so that's sort of like the five flagship funds. Now, just as a orientation here, and we'll come back to it if we need to, but over 10 years, the C fund has averaged 13.37% per year. And since it was formed 36 years ago in 1988, the C fund is 36 years old. It has averaged 11.18%. Now, if you've been paying attention to anything we've been saying over the last several months and dozens of episodes, we've been saying that since the start of U.S. large cap stock market over 100 years ago, over 30 years, there's never been a time when it's averaged less than 10.8% per year, right? Like, that is the long term. And listen to that, the C fund, 11.18%. It has a total expense ratio of 0.048, so it's super cheap, and you're getting 11%, right? It's maybe not a rock star fund, but it is rock solid. And so when you are invested in the TSP, you get signed up by the service, you don't actually get automatically enrolled in these funds. You know, quickly for comparison, the S fund, since it was created in 2001, has averaged 9.2%. So that's still really good. The I fund, also created in 2001, has only averaged 5.44%. So not good, right? You should never be invested in that. The F fund and the G funds, the F fund, 5.38% per year since it was created in 1988. And the G fund, the original TSP fund created in 1987, 4.65% per year. If you take away inflation on that of an average of 3.1% over that time frame, it's a 1.5% real return, right? G fund, all it does is protect you from inflation. F fund, a little bit better. So if you can't commit yourself to 100% stock portfolio, and you have to buy some fixed income, and you want to have a little bit of stock, a little bit of bonds, you should still pick the F fund, right? The G fund, not your friend, okay? So, like, hopefully, really quickly, we've already established that we have this super safe F fund at 5.38%, and then we have this great performing C fund at 11.18%, okay? So now we got to roll over, and we got to talk about these life cycle funds. And what are they? Well, the life cycle fund is diversified across those five individual funds. So what they do at TSP, I, a little G, a little F, a little S, a little C, okay? Well, we've already established that the G and the F and the I are all returning about 4.5 to 5.5%, and the S is performing returning 9%. Well, the C fund is 11%. So as soon as you start diluting with the G, F, S, and I, and you should never own I because it is excluding highly profitable investments because of U.S. foreign policy and not wanting to invest or own stock in those companies because we disagree with the countries where they're located. By being invested in a life cycle fund, you're being forced to own the I, which is a bad investment. You're being forced to own the G, which is a bad investment. The S fund does pretty well compared to benchmarks, and the F fund also does pretty well. But essentially what you're getting in the life cycle is forced diversification. And they do this every 3 months. They say, are we on track? Every 3 months, are we on the right balance of these, you know, five individual funds so that we're properly risk adjusted? You know, and that's the big thing. It's like, we want to adjust your portfolio for you. So that's why they have the life cycle funds. And so when you come in, what they tell you is pick the life cycle fund that has a number, which is a year, that corresponds to when you expect to retire, assuming you're going to retire at like age 62 or 65 or 67, right? And so if you were born in 2005 and you enlisted a couple years ago, maybe last year, 2023, you enlisted, they would recommend that you invest in the L2070 because they're going to do a strategy where for the next 46 years, every 3 months, they're moving things around a little bit so that you're sort of like optimally diversified for when you retire in 2070. If you were born in 1995, they probably, and you enlisted at 18, you'd be recommended to invest in the L2060 and so on. Now, if you're a veteran, and you've just retired, like really retired, not just from the military, but you're like 62 and you're like, I'm done with my job at Booz Allen. I am out and I'm retired. They're going to dump you in the L income fund. Okay. So what does that mean? Well, one quick note I should say is the way that the new blended retirement system is set up is that when you reach 2 months of active service and you're now officially vetted and eligible to be in the BRS and to invest and save through the TSP, they're going to sign you up. Your service will sign you up at a 5% of your base pay contribution, and they're going to sign you up over at TSP for the life cycle fund, okay? So even if you want to save more than 5% and you log into MyPay and you go down to TSP and in the table there, you change like 5% to 16% or 5% to 22% or 5% to 9%, like whatever your plan and your goals are, they're still going to send that money over to TSP, and TSP is still going to park it in the life cycle fund that corresponds to your age group. So you still have to, what you'll find out by the end of this episode is that as soon as you've put your allocation on MyPay, you have to immediately log into TSP and you have to go and change where you want that money to go. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's look at what the allocations are. And by allocations, I mean, what is that particular fund investing in? Okay. Now, we've got essentially 2070 is brand new. When L2070, when did they create that thing? They created it on July 26th of this year. Okay. So, it doesn't even have any data. Okay. And so we can't really say anything about how it performs, but we do have plenty of data on L2065, and L2065 is, you know, for anyone quote unquote born between 2000 and 2004, right? So we have that data, and you know we can compare it. Fortunately, we can compare it then to our individual funds. So, you know, here's an example. The past 1 year, the C fund had returned 36.29%. The L2065 fund returned 31.22%. Okay, so it got beat out by 5%. It lost to the C fund by 5%. Well, we think that should make sense, right? Because we earlier said that their strategy is they mix the other funds. And so just like you should be able to figure if you're not 100% C fund, but you have some money that's in other funds that don't do as well, you're probably going to do a little bit worse. But they do worse, way worse than they should. Why? Because their allocation is only 1% to the F fund and G fund. It's 99% to the C fund. Well, I should say to stocks, right? So like there's a little bit of S and I mixed in there, but hardly anything at all. And so, but somehow it gets a 5% underperformance. And that's a real problem, because that means it's not just the allocation, it's also the management. Yeah, so here you go, the L2065. So what they're doing is they give you 50% C fund, 14% S fund, and 35% I fund. That's a lot of international to own when you shouldn't own any. And that explains a lot of why it does so poorly. But the fees are higher, right? Because they're managing it. They're moving it around every 3 months. So the fees are it's 10% more expensive than the C fund. And so overall, like right off the bat, you're losing out on 5% returns just by being in that L2065 fund. And in the long run, about a 5% lower annual return is going to require you to save and invest for an extra 6 to 7 years just to make up that difference, right? So, and this is as good as it gets for the L funds, because each year after that, I shouldn't say each year. Okay, so it's basically held constant for the first 15 years. So the L2065, L2060, and L2055 all are 50% C fund, 35% I fund, 14% S fund. Put a different way, it's 50% good, 50% garbage. Well, then once you start getting closer, and so the L2050 is... L2050 is designed for people who are born between 1985 and 1989. So, you know, pretty much anyone who's like right on the verge of retiring from the military, who's been in for about 20 years, if they're in the life cycle fund and following the advice at TSP, they'd be in the L2050. And what happens is that fund is they sell off C fund. So they drop it down to 42%. They sell a little bit of I and S fund, and then they go out and they buy 11% G fund and 8% F fund, right? They start switching you into bonds. And every 5 years, it gets more and more conservative, right? Because they're like, oh, you're getting closer to retirement. You're only in your 40s, man. For the 2050 fund, you're only in your 40s. You still have 20 plus years, 25 years at least, until you need retirement income from your TSP. And they're already shifting you over in this allocation of 19% fixed income. 5 years later, they boost it to 23% and they reduce your C fund to 39%. 5 years after that, they sell more C fund. You get down to 37 and then 34 and then 31. And they keep increasing your bond funds. So by the time you get to the 2040, right? The 2040 fund, which would be for people born in the late 70s and who are now like in their early 50s, they still have another 10 to 15, maybe 20 years until they're going to retire. They have 28% bonds and only 37% C fund. And now if you're in the L2030, so this is somebody who was born in the late 60s and is within a decade of retirement, they've got 40% bonds, 31% C fund, and 29% of the I and the S fund. And then by the time you actually get into retirement and you get moved over to what's called the L income strategy, that is 76% bonds and only 13% C fund. Well, what happens? Okay, I'm a Google Sheets lover and I am a math nerd. And so what I did is I took everything from the L income through the L2065, and then I used these over time allocations and the historic performance, and then I took that average return for each of those 5-year chunks, right? So for example, if you take the L2065 and you look at like the 1-year return, that doesn't really help you. But if you look at its long run returns, like since inception, then you can model the total returns over your lifetime, right? And so, you know, a good example here is, see if I can find it. Yeah. So the L2050. The L2050 over its lifetime, 9.65%. So that's about a 1.5% lower return than the C fund. The L2030 over its lifetime, 7%. The L income fund over its lifetime, 4.43%. It does worse than the G fund, right? Like it's 70% G fund, and then it's got stocks, so it should do better. But it actually does worse than the G fund. You know, it's just that bad of a product that something that is 100% government bonds can earn 4.65%, and TSP and the life cycle team gets their hands on it, and they somehow lose a 0.25% return and only get 4.43%. And oh, by the way, it has a higher expense ratio. So they charge you more money for worse performance. Well, I took all that and then I modeled out, if you were to sign up and you were to take the life cycle fund that's for your birth year and then stick with it all the way until you were 70 and retired, what would that look like? What would your returns be over the long run, over the life of that fund and that strategy? Now remember, over the lifetime of the C fund, 11.18%. Over the lifetime of the S&P 500, 10.8%. There's only one life cycle strategy, age group right now, that is going to support your savings goals for retirement, and that's the L2050. Right, and those are people who were born in the late 70s, right? So right now, they're over their lifetime, they've been averaging 9.05%. So 2% less than if they just bought the C fund. And at that rate, they're going to be okay. Why? Because when we adjust that 9.05% for inflation and dividends and cost, they're still going to be making about 8% real returns. So they're still going to be able to achieve their retirement goals based on that. It's going to cost them an extra 2 or 3 years of waiting. So, you know, they could retire at age 70 and have as much as they could retire, they would have if they retired at like 66 or 67, if they were invested in the C fund and getting 11%, but it's still pretty good. Okay. But listen to these annual average returns for all the other strategies. 2065, you're looking at 6.8%. 2060, 6.8%. 2055, 6.8%. 2050, as we said, 9.05%. The L2045, 5.7%. L2040, 7.28%. L2035, 5.42%. L2030, 6.73%. And the L2025, 4.43%. These are horrible strategies, and especially once they lock you into the L income fund, you know, we've talked about it in the books, and I think we've talked about it a little bit, but the entire retirement planning strategy is based on this thing called the 4% rule, which says that the worst case scenario is you're probably going to be able to withdraw 4% of your retirement savings balance each year. And between good years and bad years, you'll always earn at least 4% back. So as long as you don't withdraw more than 4%, you will not run out of money. In reality, you've got about a 9 out of 10 shot to never run out of money if you withdraw up to 6%, right? But 4% is just being as safe as possible, because that's like 999 times out of 100. Not only are you not going to run out of money, but you're going to have at least the same amount of money at the end as when you started, right? So the 4% is like the most conservative planning factor you can use. So if you want to have $100,000 in TSP income for retirement and you want to live for 50 years, you can have $2.5 million in your TSP account when you retire. 4% of that is $100,000. You can safely withdraw $100,000 every year for forever. Well, with the L income fund earning only 4.23%, and that's, you know, net of fees, once you bring that down for real adjustments with inflation, you're gonna fail the 4% rule, right? So essentially, if you just allow the TSP to put you in the life cycle strategy and manage you all the way up to the L income, and now you're retired, you're in your 70s, you don't want to work anymore, and you're trying to withdraw at the 4% rule, you're going to overwithdraw, because that fund does not make enough money. And it should make sense, right? It should make sense because they put you 76% into bonds. A risk-optimized portfolio is maxed out at 60% bonds, not 76%, 60% bonds. A performance-optimized portfolio with risk taken into consideration is going to be about 60 to 70% stocks, right? So the whole life cycle strategy, it just basically, they don't know when to say no. And they make a bunch of mistakes, right? So first of all, to summarize, right, they're just absolutely wiping out your returns, because the I income fund is part of every life cycle strategy. It starts out at 35% of your holdings, and it goes down to 9%. But it's a massively underperforming fund. It's a garbage fund. You should never be invested in it. The G fund, also an underperforming fund. It's the advantages that they tout with the G fund is that every year when they kick people out of the military, or when veterans who have TSP balance with G fund in it pass away and don't have any heirs, the TSP takes all that G fund money and they pile it up, and then they split it amongst everybody who owns G fund, right? So they're like, oh, you get a little extra return. But as we've seen with the numbers, it's not enough. And so you're automatically invested at least 35% at any given year in, for lack of a better term, like crap funds in the life cycle, okay? So that should be like obviously reason number one to... Well, I think reason number one to not ever own any life cycle funds is the fact that they, at best, are going to do 9%, and you can get 11% by investing in the C fund, right? And that's going to save you, you know, at least 2 or 3 years worth of saving and investing, and speed up your retirement by at least 2 to 3 years, that extra 2%. And the second reason is that the life cycle fund invests in funds that you would never individually invest in, right? So if you would never individually buy G fund or I fund because they do worse than other options because of US government, you know, foreign policy and restrictions on what can be invested, why would you invest in the life cycle fund that invests in those, right? And now this is, you know, I you could maybe say like reason, you know, 3 or like 2B was what we said about the L income strategy not holding up for the 4% rule, which means it's too risky. But I think the real, you know, what do you call it? The nail in the coffin, the stake through the heart, to me, was how much this costs you over a lifetime, right? And so what I really wanted to find out is how much those different little percentage differences and changes how much those small differences in annual percent returns affect your lifetime savings for retirement. And so here's what I did. I took the numbers and I said, let's just assume that you're a 22-year-old, you've just joined the military, you're enlisted. So, you know, you finished high school, you went off, you tried college for a year, you're like, this is not for me, this is expensive and boring. Then you went out and worked for a couple years, and then, you know, like your uncle was like, look, I had a great career in the military, I was in Nam, you know, like whatever, and that probably dates me, I guess, for a lot of you, maybe like your uncle was in like Desert Storm. So you enlisted, you're 22, and you're going to follow the retirement savings plan that we recommend in our book, upcoming book, Ultimate Military Retirement Plan, which is to save $545 per month for 20 years and then stop, right? So you have 20 years, 12 months a year, that's 240 months worth of deposits into your TSP, and you're going to put $545 per month in there, which means at age 22, your total annual retirement savings is about $6,500, same as at 32, same as at 42, right? It's only costing you $6,500 a year. And then you factor in the employer match, right? And then what we're doing is we're also going to assume that you're not as aggressive as we recommend, you know, all science and statistics and math being the same, that you can afford to just invest in the C fund, but you're actually like, you know what, I'm going to do a 70-30 fund. I am worried about the ups and the downs, so I want 70% in the C fund, and I'm put 30% in the F fund, which is actually, you know, if you were to go to a financial advisor or retirement planner, that's probably where they would probably put you in that allocation. They might have you more like 80 or 90% stocks while you're in your 20s and 30s, but by the time you're in your 40s, they're probably going to put you in a 70-30 portfolio, and then they're going to walk you back to like a 60-40 in your 50s. You know, there's some sensibility to having some of your money in bonds as you get within 5 to 10 years of actually retiring, because, you know, you need enough for like 5 years worth of income to be safe from major market, you know, corrections. But you by no means need 40% of your retirement savings in it. Like, that's just way too much. You know, and then we said we're going to put you on this savings plan, this example, you know, private, whatever, airman, whatever, because this is a flight path that by age 65 will get you to $2.5 million in your TSP portfolio, $2.5 million, which in the most safest conservative strategy will give you $100,000 tax-free income for life when you retire. Okay, so that's we've said, like, with inflation, the cost of living going up and all that stuff, that's got to be your floor for your future planning, $2.5 million. Probably $5 million is probably better. There's plenty of influencers and experts out there who have been saying recently, like, $5 million, $5 million, $5 million, and I tend to agree with that, but I also have seen what it takes to get there, and in the military, you'd have a hard time selling that kind of strategy, just because it's a lot of money, right? And you wouldn't really have enough for the first few years of your career to save for other things like a house or a car or like building your emergency savings. You'd be like really committed to this TSP strategy for 40 years from now, right? And so, like, let's just shoot for $2.5 million, okay? And saving $545 per month with an enlisted matching will get you to $2.5 million at age 65. If you're an officer, obviously your employer match is going to be a lot higher, and you would get to $2.5 million maybe like 2 years sooner, maybe by like age 63. Okay. But for the sake of our example, age 65, $2.5 million. The earliest that you can start living off of your TSP without pulling off any exceptions, you know, just like the standard earliest is age 59 and a half. And you're going to be right about $2 million. Okay. So you're going to be right about 2 million at age 59 and a half, and you're going to be at 2.5 million by age 65. That's with the 70-30 portfolio. What if you didn't, you never logged into your TSP account and you let TSP manage your funds for you and they put you in the life cycle strategy? Where would you be? Well, by age 59 and a half, you would be at about 1.15 or 1.2 million. At age 65, you would be slightly less than 1.4 million. In fact, by age 70, you would only have 1.6 million. In other words, for 65-year-old you, who wants to retire and live off your TSP and live using the 4% rule so you can safely withdraw 4% or $100,000 per year forever, instead of having 2.5 million, using the life cycle strategy, you're going to have less than 1.5 million. You have about 1.4 million. In other words, it's a $1.1 million mistake to invest in the life cycle funds. All right, just let that sink in. By age 59 and a half, it's about a $750,000 mistake. Okay. If you work till age 70, if you just let that 70-30 balance portfolio cook until age 70, you're looking at 4.2 million, but the life cycle strategy, 1.6. That's less than half, right? Like that's $2.5 million that you're throwing away just by leaving your retirement, military retirement savings in the life cycle strategy. To me, that's a mic drop, right? Like I need to say nothing more. You know, in our manuscript, I guess you call it, for the ultimate military retirement plan, the chapter I have right now is called Life Cycle Funds Are Your Enemy. And, you know, the data that I'm talking about today is presented in tables there in that chapter. That's why I really want to get it out, right? Because it would be great if you could look at the color-coded charts and see for yourself the numbers instead of just listening to me. But I have a quote that I took from Catch-22. If you're not familiar with Catch-22, like just go read the book. If you're in the military, you should know it. There was a Netflix series. There was another movie. It's all based on a book. And the book's fun to read. It's easy to read and it's short to read, right? Because it was written by a military guy for military people and other people. So like just do a favor and read it. Worst case, you know, watch a Netflix series. But there's a quote from that book that I love. And so I put it as sort of like the, you know, the banner for this chapter in the book. And the quote is, "The enemy is anybody who's going to get you killed, no matter which side he is on." Right? And I thought that was perfect for this life cycle strategy that TSP still peddles. You know, in my opinion, super dishonestly that they have it, because it's, you know, it's a terrible strategy. And it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in your retirement savings during your lifetime. And so even though it's a government fund and it's supposed to be in our best interest and like help us achieve retirement, like, and they're supposed to be on our side, they are, in my opinion, in no uncertain terms, the enemy of your financial freedom, your retirement, your future dream life. Well, I hope this resonated. I hope this like, you know, hit the 10 ring, you know, and really kind of resonated with you. If you do have TSP savings in the life cycle strategy, now is a great time to go and move it all out of that. The good thing is, because you're just moving it into a different fund or strategy within TSP, these are things called sweeps. The money stays within qualified retirement plans. So if you have $150,000 in life cycle fund, because you've been in for 15 years and just been letting it ride, you can sell it all and buy C fund. And because it's staying within your qualified retirement plan, your Roth TSP, there's no tax, right? This is not a taxable event. There's no penalty. There's no taxes. There's no nothing, because it stays within the fund. So there's literally no excuse to, you know, not get that done before the weekend's up. Also, of course, if you found this valuable, even if it didn't apply to you because you've already figured it out and you've already moved your money into a better allocation or just 100% C fund, regardless, there are probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of our fellow service members and veterans out there who have some or all of their retirement savings in the TSP and the life cycle fund, and they need to get it out. We need to save them from these massive losses and help them maximize their retirement and be able to achieve their financial goals and live their dream life. And so I ask you to please share this podcast, you know, use it as a training tool, bring it out next time you're going to do, you know, like a kneecap to kneecap session, sit around, do like annual training, talk about the TSP, get it out there to everybody, because every single person in the who's joined the military since 2018 has been automatically enrolled in the BRS, in the TSP, and in the life cycle funds, which means that there's no upper limit to the number of people who could be making this grave financial mistake with their retirement savings. The last couple of weeks, we've challenged you to share the episode with one person in the coming week, or forward them the blog, or send them the address to the website. This week, I still say that's got to be the target, right? Like, find one person who you think would benefit from listening to this episode and share it with them. And if you really care, and if you really got a little extra motivation, anybody you hear talking about TSP around the office, just shoot them a link to this episode, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on our website, www.militarywealthcoach.com/podcast. And since you're already listening at the end of this episode, please, we'd love it if you would just take 1 or 2 or 3 minutes to leave a 5-star review and help us, you know, start to get more visibility for the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and start popping up higher in the algorithm and the search results so we can reach as many of the 2 million active reserve and guard service members as possible and help them do the best that, you know, that they can with their financial goals and their retirement plans. So thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back next week, and next week is going to be Veterans Day. So we're going to try to figure out some way to, you know, honor and respect that and kind of tailor the message. If you've got any, you know, if you're a veteran, if you've got any requests or suggestions out there, please send them our way. DM us on any of our socials or email coach@military-wealth.com. Let us know what you think. And we'd love to talk about it on a weekend when it's all about the veterans and not the current folks in uniform. Don't worry, you'll be a veteran one day and you get your free onion blossom at Applebee's, right? All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Everybody be safe out there. Take care of yourself. Take care of someone else if you can. And until next week, stay financially fit and mission ready.